I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lie in mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. We're going to talk about that today for a show. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers every weekday from 9 to 11 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining me here today. It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I do a segment here. We take a break from politics and world events, and we do something here called Hump Day Health. This is natural health news you can use. I cannot stress strongly enough how different this show is health-wise than most nutrition shows you get on mainstream media or even anywhere else that you hear mainstream nutritionists. I mean, I got to tell you, I know some nutritionists, love them as people. But the mainstream advice for the last 30, 40, 50 years has been so catastrophically wrong. And I use that term not as hyperbole, but look at the health outcomes we've had from this low-fat, diet soda, pharmaceutical nightmare we have gone into. And it's stunning to me because I listen sometimes still. I'll see a health segment on one of the major news networks in the morning, or I'll hear a nutritionist. Sometimes here in Central Mississippi, I'll hear a nutritionist talk about, well, yeah, having an egg white omelet. That kind of old information that has just led us down the worst path. This show is very different. It is not mainstream nutritional advice. I'm not sitting here telling you to eat a salad and take a long walk and making you think that that's what matters. I'm telling you, if you eat a salad, but hey, eat an organic one, because here's what the pesticides and herbicides on most of your vegetables are doing to you. See, the mainstream nutritional advice always leaves out that last little leg of the information. And then they get some things just categorically wrong. The idea that we've been eating low-fat processed foods for the last 30 or 40 years, that we've been getting rid of egg yolks, where all the real nutrients are in an egg. You know, mainstream medicine told us to stay away from eggs, stay away from avocados, those fatty vegetables. Well, people are realizing, boy, that was just absolutely wrong, completely wrong. So this show is, I think it's got some value in that area, and you're not going to hear it anywhere else, not anywhere else in Central Mississippi. So we take a break. Come for the politics, stay for the health. At least take care of your health, because I'm about to show you that we got no control over anything else. It's almost funny. And today on the health show also, I go to the gym a lot now. I didn't used to. I've been working out at home for the longest time. It was comfortable to me. I do a lot of body weight stuff. I mean, I really, push-ups are just a fantastic exercise. Really, really great exercise. You can do them anywhere. You can do them in your office. You can do them right now as I'm talking to you if you want to. And you can do them anytime. And I kind of got to that thing. But I kind of plateaued. I wanted something different. I wanted to get the gym. I wanted machines. I wanted some heavier free weights, those kinds of things. And I've really enjoyed it. But one thing I notice in the gym is that, like mainstream nutritional advice, people are still following a lot of the old fitness advice too. And so there are some mistakes I see made in the gym. Not that I am perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I love to see people getting off their butts, getting into somewhere to exercise because they want to feel good. And if you're going to do that, use your time well. Don't sabotage your efforts. You get to a gym or work out at home and you listen to the show every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I guarantee your health will snap right into place. We'll do that next hour. I got to tell you, I'm in a wildly sarcastic mood today. The news from yesterday was surreal, almost. It cracks me up to a degree. You know, this is, it's kind of like gallows humor. Have you ever had a situation in your life that just got so out of control, you just had to sit back and laugh and just say, how is this possibly happening? I mean, it really, maybe that's just me. Maybe it's my twisted mind. Maybe it's a self-defense mechanism that sometimes you just have to laugh and just say, holy cow. You know, this is just amazing that this is happening. I'll play this clip first. The question is, did Trump blink on the wall? Has Trump blinked, or is he working a grand plan, or is he being the adult? Anyway, this was Fox News lamenting yesterday that it was pretty much announced that, okay, we're not going to get the funding for the wall. The budget negotiations are going to go forward. They'll do it either through a continuing resolution or they'll end up, you know, fixing up the budget in the next couple of days, which is unlikely, probably a continuing resolution. To avoid a government shutdown, Donald Trump says, yeah, he doesn't need his wall spending.
Here's what it all comes down to, though. What a stunning turn of events. Remember, it was just last week the president of the United States was in the Oval Office with Chuck and Nancy, and he said, I would be proud to shut down the government. Building a wall is worth shutting down the government. And now it's like, you know what? We're looking at other departments for the money. If he agrees to the CR, which would continue funding the government at the current levels, he won't get one point anything for the wall. And the sky-high spending from the Congress, which he ran against when he was running for president, it's going to continue. So he loses. And the Democrats will win everything they want.
So some are wondering, is this a win for Nancy Pelosi
and
for Chuck Schumer?
She was right.
Or is he being the adult and trying to compromise so that the government doesn't shut down, so that people get their paychecks and monuments stay open?
Mitch McConnell is the one who offered up the compromise. It's still unclear what the president's going to do.
I love that. Or is he being the adult in the room? It's, everybody gets their... What, are there Republicans that are opposed to a government shutdown? I'm down with the shutting it down permanently. I'm talking about seriously. A few hundred people. Let's go down to a few. Anyway, I won't even get started on that. The White House on Tuesday said that it wants to avoid a partial government shutdown and has found other ways to fund President Trump's border wall, according to a spokesman, Sarah Sanders. Sanders told Fox News, quote, we have other ways that we can get to that $5 billion. Adding, at the end of the day, we don't want to shut down the government. We want to shut down the border. That's a good little quip right there. That's a good line. She then said that the White House was looking into other funding sources and believed that it could be accomplished legally. Quote, there are certainly a number of different funding sources that we've identified that we can use, that we can couple with the money that would be given through congressional appropriations that would help us get that $5 billion that the president needs in order to protect our borders, said Sanders. Now, look, you might cheer this news. I don't know how people feel about this. I haven't even gotten to the funny part yet. I'm going to have to take a break and come back to the really funny part. But I do ask this question. Now, a lot of people I've seen, I look at comments, I see, you know, other media, hear people talking. Yeah, Trump's going to get this money. He's going to go out. He's going to find it. He's going to use it for the wall. Now, you might cheer this news. Trump's grabbing him by the budget. But what do you say when the next Democratic president just wants to fund something, just goes and takes money from somewhere else and goes around Congress and funds what they want to do? Now, look, I'm not a big wall proponent just simply because I believe we need immigration controls. I'm not an open borders guy by any stretch of the imagination. What's going on right now is disgusting. I just don't think the wall is going to be near as effective as people think. And as I reported the other day, the Mexican government is actually cutting spending. They're shrinking their departments. Even though it's run by a leftist, I have a feeling at some point Americans might be trying to go south to find jobs in Mexico. If we keep ratcheting up our spending and bankrupting ourselves while the Mexican government is cutting spending and shrinking departments, we might want to flow the other way. So maybe we're going to be upset we've got this wall pinning us in. But that's, you know, part of my sarcastic mood today. But the next, when a Democrat president, this comes in to power, and we don't want to fund socialist health care. Republicans, let's just say they've got enough votes to stop a socialist health care system. Or just imagine whatever left-wing policy that president has. What will you think when the president goes, oh, I'll find the money somewhere. I'll just go and take it from another agency. Well, Mike, this is national security. I agree with you. You sent Roger Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith up there. I'm sure they're going to come save the day on the border, just like the Republicans have done for the last 30 years when they've ignored it. I've been warning you, quit sending these rhino establishment Republicans. Nobody listens to me. But anyway, does anybody ever think about that? That when you give power to your guy, that that power actually goes to the next guy too? And usually the next guy is somebody that you don't like. And this is both sides of the aisle. Barack Obama gets something, and the Democrats are all thrilled. He gets to do this, do that. He gets to stick his nose into health care, and the Democratic Congress gets to put together Obamacare, and they just do this. And the Democrats say, that's just fantastic. Look at this. Look what we're getting done. Health care for the American people, because they're too stupid to realize it was actually a payoff to the health insurance industry. But then when Republicans get in charge, they can't believe Republicans are trying to put together another plan. They're going to, you know what I mean? It's this endless thing of cheering more power for the federal government when your guy's in control, and then crying and you just can't understand how it's not working when the next guy gets control. And this is like the Patriot Act. You know, the Patriot Act, George W. Bush gets all these new powers to spy. And I've got a ton of news on that today. I'm not going to have time to get to it all. I'll send some of it to tomorrow's show. But the Patriot Act, everybody cheers. Conservatives say, yes, give George W. Bush all this extra spying power to keep us safe, because George Bush says we've got to stay safe. And our new Homeland Security Department, yes, look at that. We're going to keep ourselves safe. And you give the federal government all this new power. Who would have guessed that just in a few short years they would be using it against your favorite presidential candidate? Secret spying, secret FISA warrants, warrantless wiretapping. It's just a shame there are no people out there, no political party out there warning us of these abuses of power when we get swept up in emotion thinking that, oh, our guy's doing something really great because most people don't think about the long-term consequences of things. Oh, wait, there is a party. There are people out there warning you about things, these kinds of things. They're called libertarians. You know who doesn't spy? You know who doesn't give the government a bunch of control and a bunch of secret police powers to spy on people without warrants? Libertarians.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, so here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. Now, I've been asking this question all week. I've still yet to get a call or an email or anything. I want to know where Trump is draining the swamp. I want to know where the swamp's being drained. Now, I will rebut some of them. Like, I can imagine and see, here's the thing. John Brennan's out at CIA. Now, every new administration puts somebody in and takes somebody out, all that other stuff. So, like, John Brennan, the former CIA advisor, the never-Trumper, the chronic liar, he's horrible. He was Obama's CIA chief. Now, he is out. So you'd say, okay, well, look, Mike, this really corrupt, maniacal guy at the CIA is out. But you know who's there now, right? Gina Haspel. Gina Haspel is an acolyte of... anyone? Anyone? John Brennan. So I can't, you know, you can't really say the swamp's drained if it's just a change of personnel with similar proclivities. But on the same day, I mean, this is just, am I overplaying this? Okay, here we go. On the same day, that they come out and say that there will be no budget agreement, the wall will not be funded through this next appropriations, this continuing resolution, or this budget. On the exact same day that Trump says, the Trump administration, Sarah Sanders comes out and says, well, we'll try to find the money somewhere else. We're not getting it through this. On the same day they do that, they announce a $10.6 billion aid package for Central America and Mexico. It's the same day. Now, it's funny to me because I pay attention to this stuff and I track this kind of stuff throughout time. See, I'd catch it if it was 3 days apart, and I'd still think it was funny. If it was a week or 2 weeks and, you know, they didn't get the wall, and then all of a sudden I saw an announcement in 6 weeks that we're giving this, I would call attention to it because I pay attention to these things. But this is the same day. People, did you notice this? The United States, this is AP, Associated Press. The United States pledged $5.8 billion in aid and investment Tuesday for strengthening government and economic development in Central America and another $4.8 billion in development aid for southern Mexico. The USAID aims to promote better security conditions and job opportunities as part of the regional plan to allow Central Americans and Mexicans to remain in their countries and not have to immigrate. The plan was announced in a joint U.S.-Mexican statement released by the State Department, more on that in just a second, and read aloud by Mexican Foreign Relations Secretary Marcelo Ebrard in the Mexican capital. Quote, in sum, I think this is good news. Very good news for Mexico, Ebrard said. Yeah, it is good news for Mexico. I'm telling you, if you're not planning on migrating to Mexico, you may be behind the curve. They're cutting spending. I did the story yesterday. They've got a leftist government there. And one of the first, this guy just came in December 1st. This is a leftist. He said, now he wants to spend more money on welfare, which I would argue against, particularly as a libertarian and as a conservative. But what he did to do it, what he did to give more money to welfare is he made other departments cut spending. He said, we will do more with less. Now they've got, now they can do more with more. They've got $10 billion of U.S. taxpayer money. What do you think about that? The day that our government tells us, no wall for you, they make an announcement that we're giving $10.6 billion to Mexico and Central America. Now, this is from the State Department. Mike Pompeo. That's right, your stalwart conservative, Trump's guy that he's so proud of at the State Department. I mean, it shows such a lack of respect for the American people that they would allow this announcement to be made at the same time they're doing the negotiation on the wall, and they knew that it wasn't going to be easy to get the wall money. This would be bad if they announced that they did get the $5 billion in the budget for the wall. It would still be bad. Arm wrestling $5 billion out of a $4 trillion budget. I did the math on this. It is 0.125% of the budget is this $5 billion. 0.1%. It would be bad if they actually arm wrestled the Democrats, got the $5 billion, and then gave double that to Mexico and Central America. But it's even worse than that because they didn't get the $5 billion. Now they say they're just going to go in and find it somewhere. They could find it in the couch cushions of the Pentagon if they really wanted to look. I could tell you where $5 billion is. I think it's time, I was telling James Tulp as he was leaving the station this morning, I said, I think what I'm going to do is, if you've been following these yellow vest protests, I hope they keep going. You know, those things have a way, you never know if they're really dying down or if just the media interest in it is dying down. But, you know, France was overtaken by these yellow vest protesters who have just finally had enough of their socialist government picking their pockets. I'm thinking about silk screening some Mike Madison Show yellow vests. I'm going to get out ahead of this trend. When do we put on the yellow vests? Now, I wish there was a political party or a group of people with an ideology that wouldn't give $10.6 billion to Mexico. Oh yeah, there is. They're called libertarians. You get where I'm kind of going with this show? What do you think about this? It's the same day. The same day. Now, here's the real scam. It gets worse. Believe it or not, it gets worse. I don't know why I have this smile plastered across my face as I tell this story. There is something about the patheticness of this for the American people that we have absolutely no control, that it is almost comical to me. Because everybody thinks they've got control. You know, this 30% of diehard Trump supporters think that Trump is orange Jesus and he's going to deliver everything for them. And so they think that they've got the power in the government right now. And the Democrats, same thing they thought when they had Obama there, or they think that they're going to topple Trump. I mean, it's this mass delusion that we've got control because our guy's winning, or we've got control because our guys are about to take down their guy, or whatever it is. We've got no control. No control whatsoever of this government. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. None. But here's the real scam of it. What this money is going to is something called public-private partnerships. Well, doesn't that sound great? And particularly to us conservatives, where you hear, well, yes, the private industry is getting involved in this, so at least it's public-private. At least there's some industry that's going to be, you know what I mean? I mean, they use this term public-private. Now, look, I'd rather see in the United States things that are public-private, I guess. Really, what I want to see is more private-private. You know, where the U.S. taxpayer dollars are not actually a part of the equation at all. I'm just stunned. What do you think about part of your paycheck just floated south of the border? Just woo, adios. I think I've put this on my Facebook page, The Mike Madison Show. I should read my Facebook post out because, you know, one thing when you put text somewhere, you can't really get the tone. And I felt like, well, maybe I should come on and just read so that everybody can get the dripping sarcasm that is coming in this. I think I said, you know, adios money, hola, mucho más debt. Yeah, we don't even have the $10 billion. Okay, so here's what we do. We borrow $10.6 billion from China, and then we give it to Central America and Mexico. Oh, my gosh. That's true. What I'm telling you is true. No, I mean, it's not necessarily China. It's whoever's loaning the federal government money. We're taking on debt. Let's take it even a little further. Okay, and then I'm going to stop with this. I'm going to come back with public-private partnerships. I'm going to tell you the scam that this is. So what we do is we borrow money from somebody like China, and then we give it to another country, and then they spend it with the big corporations. That's what I'm going to get to in a second with the public-private partnerships. And then we give the bill to our children and our grandchildren. This is quite a little system we're working on. This is really working out great for all of us. Public-private partnerships. I'm going to talk about that when I come back, because you hear this term all the time, but in particularly in these foreign aid packages, I don't know most people really understand what that means.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I'm just curious, when are we going to finally stop putting our faith in politicians and demand that they reverse the power flow from centralization into Washington, D.C., back to the American people, to the states at least, where we have some semblance of say? Now, Mississippi, we've seen the Mississippi Republican Party treat Republican voters here like cat toys. They just, you know, have their way with you. Yo, you'll take the candidate we give you. You'll take whatever we give you. But, you know, at least at the state level, if they were actually doing laws and passing things that affected our life, it's not hard to get downtown to the Capitol or to see your representative. It's kind of easy. D.C., you got no tether to that unless you've got a big, fat wallet. And I've seen people who, as we're talking about this wall stuff, I mean, just to recap, here's what we're doing. We've gone from a couple of years ago, we're going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it, to, well, okay, we're not going to build the wall, or at least we're going to piecemeal it. We may get 100 miles of it. We need 1,100. We'll get 100. I mean, you know, this thing will be done in 15, 20 years. We're not going to get the wall, and we're going to pay Mexico to not build it. Am I reading this wrong? Yesterday, the Trump administration said they're going to look at other sources. They're not going to get the money for the wall in the budget. On the same day, they announced they are giving $10.6 billion to Mexico and Central America for public-private partnerships. Doesn't it feel like we're paying Mexico to not build the wall? Is that not 180 degrees? See, I've seen comments that say, look, Trump can't get anything done through this swamp-infested Washington, D.C. This is Trump's State Department. This is the Mike Pompeo that conservatives have been convinced to love, that he's so tough and he's tough with the Russians and he's a blowhard. He's a warmongering neocon establishment hack. And he just gave $10.6 billion of your children and grandchildren's money to Mexico and Central America. Here's more of the story. I got to go back to this one line because I think it's so funny. Their financial spokesman down in Mexico says, in sum, I think this is good news, very good news for Mexico. Yeah, you think? We just gave you $10.8 billion. Newly inaugurated President Andres Manuel López Obrador waxed poetic about the plan to provide jobs so people won't have to immigrate. Quote, I have a dream that I want to see become a reality, that nobody will want to go to work in the United States anymore. He said this in a morning news conference before the announcement. Now here it comes, okay? The combination of public and private investment for the stay-at-home effort doesn't require congressional approval, unlike Trump's signature project to stem illegal immigration, a border wall. The U.S. State Department issued a simultaneous statement saying, quote, again, this is on the same day that they tell you, you ain't getting your wall. The State Department, under the leadership of Mike Pompeo, comes out and tells you, they issue this statement, quote, the United States is committing $5.8 billion through public and private investment to promote institutional reforms and development in the Northern Triangle, a term that refers to Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. López Obrador's administration has said it also interested in agricultural, forestry, and tourism projects in southern Mexico and the U.S. that it will contribute to those efforts. Okay, so here's the scam in total. Let me go ahead and summarize this for you. We borrow money from, we'll just say China. We borrow money from a lot of things. Sometimes we borrow them from pension plans. Some Americans buy bonds and the mutual funds. Lithuania, Switzerland and China, whoever. They're buying our debt. So we borrow money from somebody. And then we send it to Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico. And then we send the tab, you know, in a few years, we look at our children and our grandchildren and we go, hey, don't forget, Joe, that $10.6 billion to China. And our kids say, for what? And you say, well, because when we were, you know, when I was an adult, we voted for politicians that actually borrowed money from them to give to Mexico and Honduras and Guatemala. And now you have to pay it back. That's what we tell our kids. Look, I've apologized to future generations on the show. I cannot tell you, if you were under 30 years old, I cannot express how sorry I am for what we have done to your generations and what is coming down the pike with this kind of spending. Apparently, the greatest generation, the baby boomers and Gen Xers, are perfectly fine with this stuff, apparently, because they keep voting for the same kind of people. And it's not only, it's just a couple of weeks ago that we voted two more of the exact same kind of swamp creatures straight back up to Washington, D.C. to be Mississippi's representatives for the next 20, 25 years. As I told you, don't give up faith. You'll have a chance to pick a new senator somewhere around 2045. Now, here's the last part of the scam, the final piece of the scam puzzle. We borrow money from somebody, we give it to another country, then we make our kids and our grandkids pay it back. the public-private partnerships. Let me tell you how this works. We borrow money from China. We give it to, ostensibly, we give it to Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala for these projects. But a lot of that money, they don't ever see it. It's not like it goes into their account. What happens is, in the public-private partnerships, what we do is these big corporations, globalist corporations, the money goes directly to them. So what they do is they go to like Honduras or other countries. And this is a long-standing practice, okay? This has also been done through like the IMF and the World Bank. They go to a country like Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, or whatever, and they say, you know what you really need here, guys? You need some new infrastructure. You need better roads and bridges. We could build you a dam here that would provide electricity. This would generate all this economic activity for your country. And we've got the money to loan you to do it. And these poor countries go, wow, you'll loan us the money to do these things? And they go, sure, not a problem. I go, okay. Well, the money never actually goes to the countries. It goes straight to the big globalist corporations who've got the contracts to develop these things. You see what I'm saying? So like money earmarked in this situation for Honduras, let's just say, I'm just using an example. You can make it any project you want to. Let's say they're going to build a hydroelectric dam in Honduras. I'm just making this up. I have no idea what they're going to do. It may be a strip mall for all I know. I don't know. But what the State Department is doing right now is they're saying, okay, we got $10.6 billion we're going to give you, and with that money you can build this hydroelectric dam. Now, what they do with the money is they don't send it to Honduras, and Honduras goes, okay, we're going to start taking out bids for this hydroelectric dam. We think this is going to help create jobs here and improve, you know, it's going to keep our citizens at home. That's not how it works. Honduras never sees the money. The money goes directly from the State Department, kind of does a U-turn. It's like heading towards Honduras, and then it makes a U-turn, and it goes to some big corporation that already has the contract to build this thing. And usually these things, so here's what happens in most cases, and a wonderful, wonderful book that will explain this to you. There's a guy that used to go around, his name is John Perkins. He used to go to these little countries, and he would tell them, he would try to convince them to take these loans. He would go to places like Ecuador or something like that, and he would go to the president, and he would go, look, we've got, you know, $10 billion for you. You're going to be able to build roads and bridges, and this is going to help your economy and all that stuff. And sometimes the South American leaders, poor country leaders go, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to take on all that debt. Now, what's interesting is they call these guys economic hitmen. And sometimes when these poor countries' leaders don't play ball, they actually get assassinated or there's a coup. Suddenly you'll find the federal government, you know, the U.S. government and other governments plotting a coup to topple these people. But let's say they take the money. The IMF, the World Bank, in this case, the State Department goes somewhere and they says, hey, we got this $10 billion, and they take it. Now, what happens is, again, they don't ever get the money. The IMF takes the money and they give it to some big contractor to build the roads and bridges. So you understand what I'm saying. The big global corporations are actually just ginning up new business for themselves. They're just raking in profits. You can imagine the cost overruns and all the just the incredible profit they do. So what happens is IMF, World Bank, in this case, State Department, goes in. They tell somebody, okay, it's actually different. I need to back up a second. It's different here. We're not loaning this money to Mexico and Central America in this case. We're giving it to them. We're just giving it to them. Now, again, we're not giving it to them. It's going to end up with some globalist corporation that is going to do these public-private partnerships. But what happens is you end up doing all these infrastructure projects, all these global corporations end up making all this money from these public-private partnerships, and they don't work. They don't generate the economic activity that the poor country is expecting. Now, in the case of loans that are constantly made by the IMF and the World Bank, and when I say those things, imagine these are the world's biggest banks. These are the banksters, the globalists. That's what they do. They go into a small country. They indebt them. They give them debt up to their eyeballs. And they convince the country at the time, look, when you do these projects, we're going to loan you this money. When you do these projects, your economic activity is going to be so great, it's going to be easy to pay the loan back. The strange thing that happens is that never works out. It's never true. And so they go in, these globalist corporations go in, they do all these projects, they make all this money, and then the economic activity does not show up for these poor countries, and they have trouble paying the loans back. And do you know what the IMF and the World Bank and the banksters and all these things do? They go to these little countries and they go, huh, It's not looking like you're able to pay this money back. Now, what we can do instead is we can take, I don't know, your oil reserves or whatever natural resources these countries have. See, they knew that they were going to do this all along. And that's what we just did with Mexico and Central America. We just did the public. We just get the difference is you just gave this money to them. The U.S. taxpayer, you just gave them $10.6 billion. It's not even a loan. We're not expecting it back. Now, somebody, trust me on this. Somebody, some big global corporation is going to make a buttload of money off that handout there. See, this is corruption. And this came out of the Trump State Department led by Mike Pompeo. The State Department spokesman is Heather Nauert. Heather Nauert is now about to be the UN ambassador. Will somebody please, by email, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, Facebook, or call in, tell me, where is the swamp draining? I'm not seeing it, and I'll continue to ask this question for two more days. Probably months. On the day they tell us, we don't have the money to build the wall, we give Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras $10.6 billion. Yeah, the people are in charge of this government. Yeah, it's doing our good work. Good work on behalf of the American people.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I think it's actually a good thing I'm transitioning to my health show next hour so I can leave this stuff alone. Because this story, I'm reading through the AP story about this aid package we're giving to Mexico and Honduras and Guatemala. It's getting worse as I read through it. I mean, I just saw the story for itself. And it is the perfect illustration of how helpless the American voter is. You get all jazzed up that you think you're going to make some changes by voting for one party or the other, and that you're really, oh, my guy's in. I'm going to get this, this, and this. And, boy, we just hold out hope for year after year, decade after decade. I mean, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to be France. We're going to have to be fully bankrupt socialist before people finally go, you know, I don't think these politicians are really going to do what they said. I don't think they're actually serving us. But in the meantime, everybody throws their lot in with one politician to the other. You know, we've always got that savior. The story continues to go on. I'm gonna read just a little bit of this. I was looking down here. The U.S. We released the statement about the public. So let's see, where did I find this down here? I'm sorry, I've been scrolling. Ebrard, this is the finance guy for Mexico, said the commitments established here signify more than doubling foreign investment in southern Mexico starting in 2019. Talks about a train they're gonna build, and then here's the kicker in the story right here. It was unclear if Mexico would give anything in return. A planned announcement about Mexico's migration policy was postponed until Wednesday. Ebrard, this is the finance guy for Mexico, had previously suggested that about $25 billion in U.S. investment would be an appropriate figure for what Mexicans and Central Americans had dubbed, quote, the Alliance for Prosperity in the region. See, the 10.6 isn't even half of what we're probably going to end up giving them. He thinks $25 billion is a better idea. Okay, I've got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, good. I'm having a good time. I don't know. It's just laugh or cry.
It is amazing that we can go from in just 2 short years. You know, 2 years is not a very long time.
No.
Two years we've gone from we're going to build a wall and we're going to make Mexico pay it to we've paid them to, I mean, really?
We've paid them to not build the wall.
Yeah, I mean, So one of two things. Well, or maybe if we give them the $25 billion, then maybe the wall will get built and they'll pay for it with the money that we gave them.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if the Mexican government keeps cutting spending, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this, but they've got a leftist. He's actually shrinking the size of his federal government. So if they keep shrinking their federal government and they keep getting billions of dollars from us, Mexico will ultimately build the wall. Do you know why? Because they're going to be trying to keep Americans out because the flow of migration is going to go the other way. As the U.S. sinks into abject poverty and third world status through the bankruptcy of our foreign entanglements and our $750 military budget and the rest of the social program, once we collapse, Americans are going to be trying to flood into Mexico, and that'll be the ultimate irony when Mexico builds a wall to keep Americans out.
There'll go the neighborhood. You know, Trump has found out one of two things is going on here. He's either found out that, you know, you can't go on somebody else's property and drain their pond without their permission. Or there was really, I may very well be wrong, but this is the way I lean. It was all just a ruse.
Well, look,
he is smart enough to know what he can and cannot do, and what he needs to say to get what he wants. And he's had all of these Congress people, every time they campaigned for the last 3 years now, 2 years, they've been saying, oh, you need to send me back there to fight. How many times have we reelected Republicans with them promising to rein in federal spending, have adult conversations about federal spending,
right,
get rid of Obamacare, immigration reform.
Reform entitlements. Yeah.
And they've never done any of it.
Right. Yeah. Well,
so
you know,
Trump is smart enough to see the tea leaves and say, look, all I've got to do is tell these rubes that we're going to do this. And they'll love me.
Well, look, I think it's kind of important to remember, because this could be, and again, this is not just Trump bashing. This is me just trying to tell people, quit having faith in politicians. And Donald Trump is now a politician. But anyway, he said on the campaign trail, I don't know if it was after he won or during the campaign, he said, you know, drain the swamp, that was never my slogan. As a matter of fact, he said this. He said, I didn't really like it when I first heard it, but the crowd seemed to love it, so I kept saying it. Well, I'm asking now if he actually even meant it, if he ever embraced it. Somebody needs to show me the evidence of it.
I think we really know, and most people know. The ones that don't know, they know, they just don't want to admit it.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. Hey, up against a hard break. Thanks so much for calling in. Yeah, I'll keep this going. We're moving to health care or health improvement in the next hour, but I've got the question open. Where is the swamp draining? You got 2 days to call.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Thanks for joining me today. This is the Mike Madison Show, and this is Wednesday, second hour of every Wednesday show, 10 to 11 o'clock. I do a segment called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where we give you topics that you can do your own research on, and you can take control of your health. A lot of people don't even know this. They think that they are just sitting around waiting to find out if they've lost life's lottery and you're going to get these chronic diseases and conditions. It's just simply not the case for the vast, vast, vast majority of people who suffer from these conditions. You're in control of this stuff. You just don't know it. You know, I was kind of listening to my intro. Most of my show is political and current events, or I guess more than anything else, I just point out the corruption of the current system, and I kind of beg people to start paying attention to it, that there are no saviors, that it's up to us to take control back from the federal government, okay? I need to do a new intro because these similarities between my political views and my health views are kind of the same. You've got to take control, and my intro says, you know, I like the puppet on the left, I like the puppet on the right. Hey, wait a second, there's one guy holding up both puppets. I mean, it's kind of like I take the nutritional advice on the left, I take the pharmaceuticals on the right. Hey, wait a second, this is the same system that's holding up these things. You know, wait a minute, there's more diabetes than ever. They keep telling me to eat soy, but now I'm getting man boobs. I mean, how many bad pieces of advice? How much longer do we have to be misled about our health before we actually break our conditions and go, oh, you know what, they've got this wrong. And there's a lot of profit in medicine. I'm not here. I don't come on every day and say they're making us sick on purpose so they could sell us drugs. But, you know, that's a possibility at this point. You look at skyrocketing diabetes and autism and cancers and all these other things. I mean, it's almost like, could they be this bad at what they're doing at keeping Americans healthy? See, there's no money in keeping you healthy. There's only money in treating your diseases. It just kind of hit me as I was listening to that. I think I need a new, just an intro just for this one segment. But it still is about the same thing. Look, we've been misled. You can get a little bit of health truth here, a little bit of empowerment here. And this is a beautiful segment because you can take action on this stuff today at lunch and start feeling better this afternoon. I start every show by telling you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a therapist, I have no degrees and nothing. I'm a regular old guy who in my mid-30s stumbled into natural health stuff, started eating organic, and then a bunch of chronic nagging conditions just disappeared, and I went, oh my gosh, look at that. They never told me that maybe taking the chemicals out of my daily diet would get rid of my headaches and my irritable bowel syndrome. In my insomnia. They never told me these things. I stumbled into it. So anyway, that's why I'm here. Everything I tell you is about you doing your own research. So when I bring up something, I'm not advising you on your personal health situation. Everybody is different, but do your own research. I will say this, a little bit of tough love. Quit sitting around complaining about this or that and doing nothing about it. I mean, seriously, we're adults here. And for you kids out there, boy, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. She was 20. She said, oh, I'm real on board with natural health type stuff. I said, oh, my gosh, I wish I had done that when I was 20. But I did it in my mid-30s. Now I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago, so there's always time. I have been going to the gym recently. The longest time I exercised at home, and I did it because going to the gym to me as a process and being busy, I'm like anybody else. I could think of a reason why it wasn't convenient to go to the gym, so I wouldn't go. For the longest time, I just did push-ups and, you know, ab rollout wheel and pull-ups, which are fantastic exercises. If you don't want to join a gym, if you just want to stay home and exercise, boy, it's so easy to do. And you can do it in like 20 minutes three times a week. It will dramatically change your health. But I've started going to the gym, and God love everybody in a gym. I go sometimes early in the morning. I see people that are waking up in the morning before their workday, and they're going in there because they want to improve their health. And this is the beautiful thing about so many people. The problem is the advice that we get in the gym is still the antiquated advice that we've gotten nutritionally. There's probably a lot of people in that gym, if I interviewed them, they would say, yeah, I eat a low-fat diet. You know, all of these old things that the medical establishment, the healthcare industry has told us about that have led to catastrophic results are still being practiced by a lot of people in the gym. And so I thought I'd just spend a couple of minutes on that. Number one, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. This is just one of the most obvious things out there right now. And what's sad is that so many people, you know, when you go to a gym, and this is coming up on New Year's too. You know, we're about to make these resolutions. So I thought this might be kind of a good thing to do now. I may revisit it as I'm sure gym memberships swell in January. I'm going to really get fit. I mean, I do these things too. I commit to things and let them fall off, you know, after a couple of months into the new year. I'm not judging anybody, but as we get into this idea that we're going to really change things next year. The beauty of what we're going to talk about a little bit today is that if you change in the right way, you'll see results quicker, which will empower you to keep going. It will motivate you, will inspire you to keep going. So you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. I don't care how much time you spend in the gym, running, biking, lifting weights, no matter what you are doing. If you are eating garbage or you're eating a bunch of low-fat processed foods, you will not see the great health benefits you're looking for. You just won't. There's a saying that says, abs are made in the kitchen. You can crunch and crunch and sit-ups, and, you know, sit-ups are bad for some people's backs, but you can do, you know, Roman chair, you can do ab roll-out wheels, you can do whatever you want to do for your abs every day. Some people say you can work your abs every day. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't do that. But anyway, you can work abs for as long as you want. You will notice you'll never see them. It won't matter. You might have a little bit of a stronger core, but you'll never see them. You'll never get slim. You'll never have an ideal waist circumference if you're eating a garbage diet. I don't care how much you work out. Abs made in the kitchen is a saying for a reason. It means you've got to eat right. So that's one of the first things I'll say. Because I'll see people who are going to go to the gym and commit to only drinking diet sodas. Can we please stop? Enough with the diet drinks, okay? Look at the last 30 years where these things have become just ubiquitous in society. They're everywhere. I see people carrying cases of them through the grocery store. It's not working, people. And if you look at the science on those kinds of things, you'll find out that diet sodas make you crave carbs. And the ingredients in them are bad for you that actually... I've read things. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but they say it's almost like formaldehyde in these diet drinks. Look, that doesn't work, okay? You got to make some other structural changes to your diet. Diet sodas, and the other thing is that I see in the gym that's not good is long, long cardio. I see people, and again, I give them so many props. I just think it's fantastic. They get up in the morning, they get to the gym, and then they spend an hour on the treadmill or the elliptical or whatever. I see them when I come in, and they're still doing it when I leave, and they've got a little bit of a sweat going to them, and it's fantastic that they are moving. It's great that they take the time. They get up in the morning, they get there, they move. Their lungs are pumping a little bit. You know, it's kind of moderate level of activity. They're not sprinting, nothing like that. Kind of moderate activity, but for a long period of time. This is that cardio advice that we were given back in the 80s and 90s. Long, long cardio. Looking at the calorie burn numbers on whatever piece of equipment you're on and thinking that you're doing the right thing. But if your goal is increased health and weight loss, you are shortchanging yourself doing this. Now, I've got a clip I'm going to play when I come back. It's a little long. I've thought about speeding up the voice. This is a tip to you. If you do research like I do, you find on YouTube you can control the speed. I watch so many different clips that it's pretty helpful to be able to go to 1.5. This guy talks a little slow. You know, I may bail on the clip altogether. I don't know. Anyway, this long cardio advice that we were given in the 80s and 90s, it doesn't work. For good results, you need things that are going to get your lungs really expanding. A lot of things that talk about the fact that, you know, if you don't use your lungs, they will just shrivel and they'll lose elasticity and these kinds of things. You want things that are really pumping up your lungs. You also want things that are engaging your heart in a healthy way. Now, what I use is something called HIIT training, H-I-I-T, two I's, high intensity interval training. And I've done shows on it before, but that's a research topic for you. If you want to get into the gym, not only are you going to be able to take your hour-long cardio session and collapse it down into about 20 minutes, so a third of the time, and you'll get tremendously more benefits. You're going to get more heart benefits, more lung benefits, more fat-burning afterburn benefits than this hour-long cardio stuff that people are still doing. This is from what I read. This is, again, if you're doing nothing right now, and you decide to start walking for an hour a day, that's great. I'm just trying to kind of nudge you maybe to look at some other things and realize there's better, more effective things, because what I've realized more than anything else when I talk to people about health stuff is what has to happen for human beings is we need to see some fairly immediate results to inspire us to the next level. Got into conversations with people recently from the show that I've discussed this with on either Facebook or through email, Or I say, do little short-term targets with stuff if you want to try a keto diet or you want to do exercise. You know, just do 1 week or 2 weeks so you can wrap your mind around the fact you're just going to try this, but you're not committing it to it, you know, for the rest of your life. And then what I think is real important is that in that little short period of time, by God, they've got to see some real results that go, oh, this is great. I'm going to do another week. I'm going to do another 2 weeks. And then once somebody's locked into this for a month or for 2 months, then it becomes a lifestyle change. But they've got to see the benefits really quickly. So when it comes to things like cardio and exercising, what I see is that people will go and they'll do these hour-long cardio and they'll lose a few pounds. They'll feel a little bit better because they're moving, their joints are moving. And probably when they're doing that, they've decided, well, I'm not going to waste my time in the gym, so I'm going to eat a few more salads rather than, you know, some fried food. That's all good and well, but you plateau on that really quickly. But if you do the right things, then the improvements are so significant, you go, oh my gosh, this is really working. And then you keep doing it and you go, oh my gosh, I feel so much. You know what I mean? So the faster the results are, the more inspired you are to keep going. And that seems to be the biggest hurdle that most people see in their health, whether it is changing your diet or whether it is exercise, either one. You need to see results. So I'm going to tell you about things that will give you the faster results in shorter amounts of time, because that will inspire you to go further. I'll play, this is Dr. Sam Robbins. I'll play this clip when we come back. But take a look at these things. Do your own research on, you know, HIIT training, H-I-I-T, about weight training for weight loss. See, a lot of people are still stuck in the idea that you have to do cardio. You have to burn calories long time on a cardio thing in order to lose body fat, but that's simply not true either. We'll get to that when we come back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are coming up on a new year. People will make their New Year's resolutions. Many people will join gyms or start exercise programs. I tell you, you would serve yourself well. You'll see much better results if you do a little bit of research and don't just embrace the old tired advice of an hour on the treadmill every day is going to somehow pop you right into shape. I mentioned something called HIIT training a few minutes ago, H-I-I-T. And you can do internet searches for this. If you're really out of shape, if you haven't exercised for a long time, this can be very strenuous. So do your own research. H-I-I-T training or H-I-I-T workout for beginners or for, you know, overweight, anything that you, you know, it's the internet's a genie. You can look it up. Let me tell you what HIIT is for me. What I typically use is the bicycle. Sometimes I'll use a rowing machine. Sometimes I might use an elliptical. But typically I'll use a bike for this. And what I do is I warm up for about a minute, minute and a half, just kind of a real moderate pace. And then I've got a timer. I've got an interval app on my phone. And what it does is after a minute, it does a buzzer. And then for 30 seconds, I am just sprinting on this bike. It's brutal. The idea being by the end of that 30 seconds, which does not seem like long when you and I are talking, it feels real long sometimes on that bike. But for 30 seconds, I am going all out, all out, all out until I just basically can't take it anymore. Waiting for that buzzer to sound at the end of that 30 seconds, I slow back down. And for a minute to a minute and a half, depending on how long I'm going to do this training, I'm barely even moving. My heart's going back down. I'm recuperating. My legs are still moving, so they don't get, you know, so they don't cool off too much. They're still, but I mean, it's a real leisurely pace. And then, that timer goes off again, and boom, I'm off to the races again for 30 more seconds. Now, one of the things that kind of attracted me to this when I first started thinking about it, when I think about my health, it doesn't matter about food or exercise or whatever. I think about us as a human animal because so many nutritionists and scientists have gotten stuff wrong over the years that I start to think, let's just take this back to the basics. Now, what serves human beings? And think about our really, really remote ancestors. they didn't do a whole lot of long distance running. Maybe if they were going from a village to a village, but even they didn't typically have those originally. They were nomadic groups of people going around. Not a lot of call for long cardio runs. Now, I'm not anybody who likes running. Some people get into the zen of that. I have not myself, but you know, if that's your thing, then that's one thing. You enjoy running. I'm talking here more about if you're just starting from scratch or trying to better your health outcomes. If you're looking to start exercising, if you're not into the long running, then we're talking about long-term cardio. But initially, man, what we would do is we'd have to chase a bunny rabbit or whatever we were going to eat. And you had to be all out, didn't you? You basically were standing there at a standstill. You're kind of crouching down. You're moving up on something. Then it sees you, and boom, you're off to the races. And you had about, you know, I don't know how long someone could keep up a full sprint. For me, apparently it's about 30 seconds. So it makes sense to me that the human body is well posed to do short sprint stuff. And this doctor, Sam Robbins, is going to talk about that in just a second. But do your own research on HIIT training if you want to try it. I don't know, particularly if you have heart problems. This does do something with your heart. I don't want anybody keeling over. But I've also seen a lot of people say to improve your heart health, this is the way to do it. All I'm saying, I just want to qualify one more time, do your own research. I don't know your particular situation. This is Dr. Sam Robbins talking about this is in his Weight Loss Hacks series on YouTube, the biggest mistake in worst exercise for long-term and permanent fat loss.
Importantly, what doesn't. So today I'm going to quickly focus on the best form of exercise for long-term and permanent fat loss, and I'm going to start with a recent email that I received. So it starts off, Dr. Sam, I really need your help. I swear I've tried so many things to lose weight and I'm just so frustrated. Either nothing seems to work, seems to really work long term, or the end result is that I do lose the weight, but I end up looking sickly or just way older. My friend calls me skinny fat and I hate it. It's like I lose the weight in all the wrong places. I eat well and do at least an hour of cardio daily. What's the problem? Please help me. So this is typical because of all the misinformation online these days. So to get right to the point and not waste your time, cardio is one of the worst exercises to lose fat and basically look good. For example, take a look at the following images and tell me which you would rather look like.
Now, this is the drawback of radio and not video. What he's showing, and so you can kind of imagine this because we've all seen this. If you watch like the Summer Olympics, he's got a picture on one side. He's got the long distance runner that's doing some of the marathon type stuff. And the next to him, he's got the sprinter. Now, the long term, you know, the long distance runner, the marathoner, it looks almost emaciated. You know, these guys, they're just constantly running. They're long. Their muscles are very long and lean. They're not bulky because they're doing these long distance, very skinny, they almost look gaunt. And they're the most successful long distance runners. So God love him, and congratulations for reaching that level in your sport. On the other side of this picture, he's got a picture of one of these sprinters. Take a look. Do an internet search of like the U.S. Olympic sprinting team. These guys are ripped. They got huge shoulder muscles. You don't need your shoulder muscles necessarily to run, do you? We wouldn't think you do. But if you look at these guys, they are just cut up. I mean, they've got ideal human physiques. That's what he's referencing in these videos.
Now, the man on the left, obviously, you can see is just kind of sickly and does a lot of cardio. Yet the man on the right, who's got the muscle, he does lots of sprinting and weightlifting. Or the picture with the women, you know, same with the one on the left uses a lot more weights and less cardio. And while the one on the right is just purely cardio and kind of hours of running. Basically, both the runners are based, you know, they look a lot older. And the simple point of these pictures is to quickly illustrate that if you want to look better, younger and firmer and basically feel healthier, it's best to focus primarily on some form of resistance weight training instead of cardio. So basically, here's the deal. If you want the truth as far as calorie burning, minute per minute, cardio indisputably does burn more calories than strength training, which could explain why compared to strength trainers, aerobic exercise loses more weight in less time, according to a recent Duke University study. However, your goal is not to lose quote unquote weight. You want to lose fat, right? And the fact is that cardio doesn't do much for your muscles. In fact, in one Penn State study, dieters lost 21 pounds, whether they performed cardio or strength training. But for the cardio group, 9 of those pounds came from valuable muscle. That's what they lost, the muscle. While the ones who lifted weights lost almost pure fat, and thus they actually gained muscle in the process, which means you end up looking more fit, healthier, and younger. All right, you look better in clothing and even better naked, and you do not look skinny fat. And this is because strength training is the number one way to build more muscle and lose fat. For every 1 pound of muscle you gain, you burn an extra 50 calories. And if you gain 10 pounds of muscle, basically, you burn an extra 500 calories all day long, every day, even while you're sleeping. Unfortunately, cardio only burns calories while you're doing the exercise. Once you stop or you miss a workout, you do not burn any more calories. And without getting on all the details, cardio also puts a lot more stress on your body and your adrenal glands, causing negative changes in your hormones by decreasing your testosterone and growth hormones, which is not what you want, while increasing your stress hormones such as cortisol. Again, you don't want this. This is the opposite of what you want. So in summary, if you want to lose fat and keep the fat off and look even better naked, focus more on strength training and lifting weights and less on cardio. Plus, if you exercise quickly with weights by keeping your rest periods to maybe only 30 or 45 seconds between your sets, basically work quicker, you'll get even better cardiovascular benefits for your heart and even speed up the fat loss. Well, that's it.
So there you go. That's Dr. Sam Robbins. You know, the idea, the weight loss idea is another one of these things that's really, I think, hampered people. I don't want to lose any weight. Matter of fact, I could stand to put on 5 or 10 pounds of good pounds, good muscle pounds. My flexibility is not as good as I want it to be. I keep saying I'm going to get into yoga, and I just don't. I'm as guilty of any of this stuff as anybody out there. I'm not sitting here preaching that I do everything right, and y'all need to get with my program. It's not that at all. I need to do yoga. Maybe I'm inspiring myself right now. New Year, that'll be my thing. I need some flexibility. I'm getting older. But this idea of paying attention to the scale, because what happens is if you lose fat and you gain muscle, then the scale doesn't budge, does it? And you stay where you were. And this frustrates some people. You need to look at your appearance. Look at where the curves of your body are. Look at how toned you are. And if you're getting more toned because your muscles are getting bigger, it means you're also probably losing fat, but your weight stays the same. Don't get obsessed with the scale. The scale means almost nothing. It's so much more important that you look at yourself and check out the appearance. This is not vanity. This is just making sure that you are improving the areas that need to be improved. And if you're maintaining your weight, then by just process of elimination, if you're gaining muscle and you're staying the same weight, that means you are losing weight because muscle does put weight on. Does that make sense to everybody? The scale is not necessarily your friend. Now, I do have, and I recommend this thing, I have one of these biometric scales. It's got a handle on it. You pick up the handle and you put your palms on it. It's got the little electrical impulse things, barefoot on some electrical plates on the scale. Pick it up and you hold your arms straight out, holding onto this bar. And so the theory is the electrical current, as small as it is, I don't get a shock. This current runs through your body, and it somehow assesses your BMI and your body, you know, your body fat, and gives you your weight, and you know, you program in what your height is and all that stuff. I don't know how accurate my thing is. What I do know is that it does trend in the right direction. So even if the numbers are off by 10%, at least they're consistently off by the same 10%. So I know the directions. That makes sense. I'm sure the weight is accurate, but let's just say my body fat starts out at 17%. I know when I lose, that may not be completely accurate. If I had calipers and a real scientific thing done on my body fat, maybe my body fat would be 18 or 16%. Maybe it's off, but I do know I can track it down. I can know that if it's wrong at 17 and I'm using the same scale, when I get down to 12, I do know that at least I lost 5% body fat. You know what I'm saying? I recommend these things because they're kind of inspirational. And one of the things that my scale has on it that I really like, because I compete with it to a degree. I'm always trying to see what it is, see if what I'm doing is helping. My body age on the thing, one of the last times I got on it, which admittedly has been a few weeks ago, was around 26 years old. Now I'm 51. So this is like a mental challenge to me to go out to the gym, to do exercises, to eat what I, you know, eat healthily, eat good organic foods, and I eat a high-fat diet. You can decide what you want to do. But I love it because I know that scale is going to tell me whether or not my biological age is trending up or down. Right now I'm at 26. I'm trying to figure out, can I get down to 21 years old biologically? I can't do much about neck up, but from neck down, I'm working on those things. So those are another kind of motivational things I think that kind of help. Anyway, long, boring cardio. It's counterproductive. Get resistant training in. Take a look at HIIT training. Use the right strategies going into the gym. You'll see results faster, and it will probably mean you'll keep up with it longer.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours.
They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I will say this, too. If you are sitting around, if you're Christmas, I can't believe Christmas is next week. I mean, like within days. This is stunning to me. I don't know. I get caught up in other stuff, and I have this routine. I'm a kind of a routine person. Upsets to my routine take a while to take a – you know what I mean? It's like I haven't even noticed Christmas is really coming. I guess I'll put it that way. But if you are struggling to find something, give somebody in your life that you love something that they are not expecting, and they will thank you for the rest of their lives, their long, healthy, happy lives, and that is the gift of health. Check out Naturally You. I really, really mean this. Have you got a spouse or somebody who's just – you know, they've got aches and pains. Maybe mentally they're not doing well. Maybe they're talking about how tired they are in the afternoons. Maybe they've got some chronic nagging stomach problems or headaches like I used to have. Any of these things where their health is not great, there is no better gift than giving somebody the gift of their own health back. And Naturally You, what they do is they work with your body to identify maybe minerals and nutrients and vitamins that you are missing that are manifesting the way it's showing up is in these chronic conditions. They work with you nutritionally, and they also put you on whole food supplements to give your body those missing pieces. And when you give your body what it needs, it responds. Your body wants to be healthy. God gave you this body. He just asked that you maintain it a little bit, and it wants to be healthy. That's what a fever is. You know, that's what a fever is. You get a little infection or something, and the body heats up. This self-contained body heats up to a degree where that pathogen cannot survive. How amazing is that? See, it wants to maintain its health, so it does all these things. The problem is we do not give our body the raw materials needed to make it perform properly. And the medical system doesn't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that you can fix this by just giving your body what it needs. Naturally, you don't hide that from you. As a matter of fact, they've got a thriving business based on helping people because nothing is a – you want to talk about some good advertising? Look, I think the Mike Madison Show for Naturally You is great advertising. You know what's even better advertising for them? All the people that filter through their business, they get their health back, and when they go out and they go to Christmas parties this year, clients from Naturally You are going to walk in, and some of their friends are going to go, oh, my gosh, you look great. And they're going to say, thank you. Yeah, what have you been doing? And they're going to say, well, I hooked up with Naturally You, and I'm actually getting all the vitamins and minerals I need. I'm sleeping better. They've taught me how to eat. Give somebody the gift of health. They are located at 500 Highway 51 in Ridgeland. You can reach them at 601-790-2790, 601-790-2790. Or easiest thing to remember, if you're listening to the radio, naturallyyou.fit. That's naturallyyou.fit. Great people, great products, great results. Check them out. I don't know really where to go with the rest of the show. I've got several things here. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go ahead and hit this one headline because I saw this today. I keep a file. It's just called Health Stories that I add to constantly as I run across this stuff and do my own research either on my behalf or on friends' behalf, or I just run across these stories. But this one actually came out today. I hadn't even made it to my notes page. This was from the Telegraph in London. It says exercise could be as good as drugs at cutting high blood pressure. Now, to me, I say, duh. It's amazing to me at this point in our time, you know, in our evolution, that this is now a story, but people still believe. I don't know how many people I know that have told me about their blood pressure medications. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, get off. Don't take those. You got to do, again, you got to put in a little bit of effort. But let me tell you what the side effects are of exercise versus high blood pressure pills. Matter of fact, I don't know. I should look it up. What the side effects are of high blood pressure pills. I know there are some. In that, I am confident. But the side effect of using exercise instead of pills are things like, oh, your skin looks better, you've lost weight, you're in a better mood, you sleep better. See, all the natural benefits, I mean, all the side effects from natural treatments to things are almost all positives. If you had to list side effects of exercise, it'd be things like you look better, you get more dates, you're happier, your mental clarity is better. You look at the side effects of most pharmaceuticals, and it's a litany of bad things. This is from the story at the Telegraph. Exercise may be as good as drugs at reducing high blood pressure, research suggests. The study, the first of its kind, pooled data from almost 400 trials looking at the impact of either medication or physical activity. It found that for those with high blood pressure, exercise seemed to be just as effective as most drugs used to treat it. The number of drugs doled out for the condition has soared in recent years, with 50% rise in prescriptions in England between 2006 and 2016. In 10 years, they doubled. You know, I got to tell you, the London Telegraph is brave in even reporting the story because I'm sure they get pharmaceutical advertising. As a matter of fact, there's one streaming right above right above it. Introducing Lucemira, the first and only FDA-approved non-opioid, non-addictive treatment for relief of multiple symptoms of opioid withdrawal. They've got a pharmaceutical ad actually scrolling on top of this. This is not a good business model for the Telegraph, but it's nice to see the truth actually come out from time to time. See, let me just tell you this, too. This is why you've not been empowered to take control of your own health by the mainstream media, because they're funded by pharmaceutical companies. And they're just, every now and then they'll leak out a little story, or maybe Dr. Oz will get a little traction here or there and he's got some good information. But by and large, you have to go seek out information on natural health strategies because the mainstream media is so bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry that they can't. They risk their whole business model by telling you that you actually control your health. You don't need a pill. 50% rise. Let me see if I can get further down in the story. There was a number here. There were just millions and millions of people. Again, this is a story from the UK. Millions and millions of people taking blood pressure medications. I'll tell you what, let's do a little live research right here. Sometimes these searches are a little difficult because depending on the search engine, I get a lot of, here we go, side effects of high blood pressure medications. Let's see if we can get it quick. Oh, here we go. Again, now just keep this in context. The side effects of exercise are things like improved sleep, improved mood, weight loss, better mobility. Okay? Positive, 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 positive. Here's the side effects of high blood pressure medications. This is according to MedlinePlus.gov. Cough, diarrhea or constipation, dizziness or lightheadedness, erection problems, feeling nervous, feeling tired, weak, drowsy, or lack of energy, headache, nausea, or vomiting. And then it gives me a little link here to more items. I won't click on that. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? If exercise and high blood pressure medications are equally as effective at treating high blood pressure, now you may have a situation where yours is related to some other condition that exercise can't. Look, there's always outliers there. But these studies, they took 400 studies and said, holy cow, look at this. Exercise is just as good as blood pressure medication for the average person reducing blood pressure. Now, you've got your choice. You can either take a little bit of time and the responsibility upon yourselves and have all positive side effects, or you can take the blood pressure medications on the advice of the medical system that is oh so wise and their results are oh so wonderful, and you can get cough, diarrhea. I can go through this whole list again. Man, I don't know why I have to do a show on this. This stuff seems to be like a slam dunk to me. It just doesn't get much more obvious than this. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. This is the final segment of my final show before the Christmas holidays. I was just trying to kind of think during the break. I should have. I like what I've done today, but I was trying to think of some of the, you know, some of the things that are attached to the holidays. This is a time where we do go to parties and stuff like that. Man, listen, enjoy yourself. I did think of one strategy that I've used, and you can do your own research on this too. I could do an entire show on apple cider vinegar. If you do an internet search for just benefits of apple cider vinegar, natural health uses for apple cider vinegar, you are going to find just a million things. This stuff is truly, it's like a miracle stuff. You have to get the organic. Don't be getting some grocery store brand of heavily processed apple cider vinegar. I get, and they don't pay to advertise this, but I think it's the most popular brand out there. I got something called Braggs, B-R-A-G-G-S. It's organic. It has pieces of what they call the mother in it, which is like slimy little pieces of apple, pretty unappetizing to look at. And even when it goes down, it's kind of like, yeah, it's just a little slimy piece of apple. But it's raw. It's unfiltered stuff, this apple cider vinegar. What I found is kind of good is if I know I'm going to go somewhere and eat some stuff that maybe I wouldn't normally eat, I will drink an 8-ounce glass with a good tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in it before I eat this stuff. Now, I believe, and I'm not going to profess to know the science of this, that it somehow helps increase your stomach acids to make things digest better. But I kind of do it as a preemptive. There's another thing to it, too. I have read, and again, do your own research on this. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a chemist. But they say apple cider vinegar taken before, even if you have things like carbs, if you're going to have bread, or if you're going to have even sugars in the form of desserts, that somehow ingesting the apple cider vinegar, I don't know if this is because it boosts your digestion by adding to your stomach acids or whatever, it will keep your blood sugar from spiking as much when you eat things like bread or possibly desserts. Now, I'm not saying it would stop it altogether. Do your own research on this. I'm kind of doing this off the cuff when I'm trying to figure out how to fill up my last few minutes here. But my understanding is that if you ate these foods without the apple cider vinegar, your blood sugar would spike a certain amount. You know, this is the spike and crash. You know, we eat these big holiday meals, and what do you want to do immediately afterwards? You want to go lay on the couch and turn on a football game and drift in and out of, you know, what feels like some kind of a food drunken stupor. You're just so full and you feel sick. Apple cider vinegar, I've found if I take that before I eat, and sometimes again, maybe even after I've eaten, does away with kind of that discomfort. So that's something that you might want to consider doing. And look at the research on, you know, spikes to blood sugar, those kinds of things. Apple cider vinegar is also good for headaches. If I have gone out, and even with my health nuttiness every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I enjoy going out, and I will have a bourbon. Occasionally, I will have several bourbons. I do not drive. You can look at my Uber detail to see that if I have more than about a beer and a half, maybe, with meal, I'm not getting on the roads. I will have somebody else drive me home, but I will have bourbons when I want to enjoy a bourbon, or four, or five, or for those of you who know me, I'll stop there and don't say anything. But if I feel bad in the morning,
stomach upset from the night before, a little bit of a hangover, a headache. Can we talk about hangovers here in a health show? You know, drinking was so sexy back in the 50s and 60s. You know, the three martini lunch, Mad Men, all that stuff. Now it's like you can't talk about going out and having cocktails. But I guess on a health show, I'm breaking the mold here. But if I feel bad in the morning, apple cider vinegar is a way to help shorten any suffering that I may feel the next day. Anyway, do some research. Take a look at health benefits of apple cider vinegar. It is good for weight loss. Hell, it's good for cleaning stuff, too. I use vinegar. When I clean around the house in my effort to get rid of most chemicals, my cleaning solutions... Okay, this is going to make me sound like a little bit of a wuss, so guys, don't judge me. I'm just trying to keep the chemicals out of my house. I use vinegar, and I have some essential lavender oils. Yes, I know I'm accessing my feminine side to tell you this, but you can look up recipes for like homemade natural Febreze. You can get air fresheners that do not contain all of the chemicals that are in Febreze that smell fantastic, and this is one of them. So I'll use vinegar and water, sometimes with a little lavender in it. It will actually be my cleanup stuff. So look, there's just a million ways you can substitute things, a million ways that you can use apple cider vinegar to help you through the holidays, a million substitutions. You know, if you're going to have vegetables, use organic. If you're going to fry foods for holiday stuff, use things like coconut oil. Get away from all of these horrible vegetable oils. I had a clip to play on that I don't have time to do, but vegetable oils are just terrible for us. Start making this shift now. You got a couple of weeks till the beginning of the year. First Wednesday, I'm scheduled to have Jordan Townsend on to start the new year out so we can kick off our New Year's resolutions with some good information from him. But start to tweak your ideas now. Don't just give up, say, the holidays. Well, I'm going to put on that 10 or 15 pounds. You don't have to by doing a couple of little simple things. But anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with politics, done with the health for today. Thanks for joining me. If you ever want the show notes, email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.